mothers. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Grace Paley and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI Buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag for all your belongings when you're out and about. Please go to women.wbai.org, women.wbai.org, to become a WBAI Buddy in the name of your favorite program, or in the name of all WBAI programs, or in the name of WBAI's long history of activism and programming you enjoy. Please call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, I want to become a WBAI Buddy this Women's History Month.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wrong. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for March 11th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. And if not, become one. Enough said.
12 years ago today, in the early morning hours, a tsunami hit Fukushima, Japan, and started a series of hydrogen explosions at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear reactors over the next days. Now there is a massive amount of radioactive water. And the good news for now, at least, is that the Japanese government announced a delay in the plans to dump it in the Pacific Ocean. We'll be talking more about this later in the show. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls.
Oh, and this is some of the best news I've heard in a long time. The European Commission has proposed a full exit from the Corporate-Controlled Energy Charter Treaty. Activists who fought the Trans-Pacific Partnership are familiar with the acronym ISDS, Investor State Dispute Settlement, but almost no one else is. The concept was developed in the 1960s when, as reported in truthout.com, Shell, then called Royal Dutch Shell, envisioned a special kind of international protection for their investments in newly independent Indonesia. Fearing that a potentially unfriendly government might impede its profits, Shell wanted protection that went beyond the traditional national court system. The Dutch state, always happy to act in the interests of Shell, inaugurated the Investor State Dispute Settlement, ISDS, mechanism in the 1968 treaty between the Netherlands and Indonesia. ISDS allows a foreign investor to sue a country for certain decisions or actions that might negatively impact its investment in that country.
Fast forward to the 1990s, when ISDS was massively expanded by the multilateral European Energy Charter Treaty among 50 countries. Specifically in the energy sector, investors who believe that governments are endangering their current or future profits can demand compensation under this treaty. Even without a suit, governments can be intimidated into a large negotiated payment.
Around the world, people are fed up. More than 1 million people signed a petition to end the treaty. France, Germany, the Netherlands, Poland, and Spain have announced that they will exit the Energy Charter Treaty, and Italy already has left. The European Commission, which as recently as January was doing all it could to protect the treaty, has now reversed itself and proposed a full exit. It can't happen soon enough.
Yeah. The Northern Lights, Aurora Borealis, were seen far south of their usual range in central Pennsylvania, according to www.pahomepage.com. The site includes a report from the Space Weather Prediction Center of the recent strong G3 geomagnetic storm coming towards Earth from the sun. The storm itself was caused by a coronal mass injection, which is superheated plasma ejected from the sun, causing the light show as it hits Earth's magnetosphere.
The UN may be taking action to improve the health of the world's rivers at the first UN water conference in almost 50 years. We've all seen photos of the world's largest rivers polluted and dammed. Avaaz reports expert opinion that unless we act now, in just 2 years, two-thirds of the world's population may face shortages of safe water. To address this, the conference, which begins this month, will consider plans to restore the world's dying rivers and secure water as a fundamental human right, not for profit. The petition already has almost 250,000 signatures in their attempt to reach 1 million to pressure the conference for unprecedented protection for rivers.
In looking over the United Nations website about the water conference at unwater.org, I worry about the way of thinking involved. It seems so human-oriented, continuing the attitude of people being over nature and not a part of the natural world. That way of thinking has gotten us into this mess and slows down our ability to get out of it. We need to listen more to indigenous peoples who see humans belonging to nature and not nature belonging to us. That perspective is needed more than ever. There are many indigenous groups from all over the world that are involved in UN conferences. Let's hope they are a real part of this one.
The late Phil Sowers, founder of World Water Rescue Foundation, in a conversation with the legendary Pete Seeger, came up with doing a series of original songs with the theme Water Not Weapons. Quite a few singer-songwriters wrote songs with that theme, most of them with that title. One of the first ones was Cecilia St. King. Here's her song, Water Not Weapons.
we die.
Water Not Weapons by Cecilia St. King.
Science News Magazine has a feature called 50 Years Ago in Science News, and the February 11th article was about plastic in the ocean. Since at least August 1972, scientists have known there was a lot of plastic in the ocean accumulating in the North Pacific. Nothing was done about it then, and now the garbage dump is twice the size of Texas and contains nearly 2 billion pieces of visible garbage and an uncountable amount of microscopic plastic pieces.
Also from sciencenews.org, quote, in January 2022, a cyclone blitzed a large expanse of ice-covered ocean between Greenland and Russia. Frenzied gusts galvanized 24-foot-tall waves that pounded the region's hapless flotillas of sea ice, while a bombardment of warm rain and a surge of southerly heat laid siege from the air. 6 days after the assault began, about a quarter, or roughly 400,000 square kilometers, of the vast area of sea ice had disappeared, leading to a record weekly loss for the region.
Researchers reported December 13th at the American Geophysical Union's fall meeting that the storm is the strongest Arctic cyclone ever documented. But it may not hold that title for long. Cyclones in the Arctic have become more frequent and intense in recent decades, posing risks to both sea ice and people. Climate scientist Stephen Favreau of the University of Wisconsin-Madison said, this trend is expected to persist as the region continues to warm rapidly in the future.
The disaster at Fukushima raised the NRC's awareness of the potential for earthquakes and flooding risks near nuclear plants. Last week, we talked about earthquakes in our region, specifically the Ramapo Braid and Indian Point. Tim Judson of the National Nuclear Information and Research Service, NIRS.org, updated our report. In 2014, NRC required that by 2017, all of the reactor owners do site-specific reassessments of the earthquake and flooding risk for all of their nuclear plants. The assessments were done, and lots of problems were found. But rather than require the reactors to be upgraded to withstand the new risks, at the last minute, the commission made upgrades optional instead of required. It was a pretty big stink at the time. I believe that was in 2018. It caused one of the pro-nuclear senators to get angry at NRC for making him look bad and to ask them if the industry had a backdoor into the commission's decisions.
You think?
Yeah.
Updates on the issue of dumping radioactive waste, radionuclides, in waters of New York State, particularly the Hudson River. First, the definition of radionuclide. A radionuclide is a nuclide that has excess nuclear energy, making it unstable. This excess energy can be used in one of three ways: emitted from the nucleus as gamma radiation, transferred to one of its electrons to release it as a conversion electron, or used to create and emit a new particle from the nucleus. Artificial radionucleotides released from human-caused activities emit beta particles during decay, which are transported through atmospheric circulation and eventually deposited somewhere on the Earth, including in glaciers during snowfall.
Next, the political news. The Assembly bill now has a number, A5338, and the Senate bill, S5181, has an additional sponsor, Senator Bill Weber. In addition, the Westchester County Board of Legislators and the town of Croton have passed resolutions opposing such dumping. And in Rockland County, a similar resolution was introduced to the legislature by Representative Harriet Cornell. The Rockland County executive is on record as opposing the proposed dumping. A petition on change.org got to almost 300,000 signatures in just a few days.
So that's Assembly A5338 and the New York Senate Bill S5181. Ever since the first day of the continuing Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant disaster, the Japanese government has authorized, even encouraged, the dumping of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. They've done this many times in the 12 years since the first day of the catastrophe. They want to do so again.
There is, unfortunately, a good reason why Japan still has radioactive water from Fukushima Daiichi to dump into the Pacific Ocean. The reactors are still hot and need to be cooled down so they don't melt down or explode. That water accumulates, and they want to do something with it. And the Pacific Ocean is right there, and the radioactivity then becomes someone else's problem, such as local fishermen and then fishermen elsewhere in the Pacific Ocean. Some ocean currents bordering Japan go north, then across the Pacific near Alaska, then south along the Pacific coast of North America, a recipe for disaster.
Every tuna that has been tested for radioactivity since 2011 has been found to have radioactivity in it, with an isotope ratio that indicates Fukushima Daiichi. Tuna are fish that eat other fish that eat other fish, so things like radioactivity and mercury bioaccumulate. UnplugNuclearPower.com points out that, quote, "The crisis in the Ukraine reminds us that no country with a nuclear power plant is safe from disaster. There are 15 reactors in Ukraine. That could be 15 more Chernobyls, and the fallout from that would make Europe uninhabitable. It's time to stop the madness."
Yeah. The nuclear industry has relied on direct and indirect government subsidies to remain economically viable. We're not supposed to call that socialism, though. It's only called socialism when money goes to people, not to corporations. UnplugNuclearPower.com has been organizing people to use less power on March 11th. There is more information on their website, UnplugNuclearPower.com.
Our next song is by John Hall, the lead singer-songwriter of Orleans. Their song, "You Are Still the One," was performed at a lot of weddings before it became a car ad while John was running for Congress in the Hudson Valley and winning twice. "I Told You So" is one of the few songs that mentions Fukushima and a lot of other nuclear plants also. Here's John Hall's "I Told You So."
But you chose the stupidest one. You turn your back on the timeless wind, the water and the sun. Blinded by your science and the chance to make a buck, you wouldn't listen, chose nuclear fission. Did not heed. Did you suppose
generation.
So
will it be the end of creation?
That was John Hall's I Told You So.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gillert.
Since we recorded that, Rockland County passed unanimously a resolution similar to Westchester County against dumping radioactive water in the Hudson River. Yay. It actually was amended to increase the penalties. Instead of just passing the resolution and moving on, they took the time to make it stronger, indicating just how seriously they take this.
Cop City is once again in the news, again for extreme police action. Stop Line 3 reports, on Sunday night, multiple police agencies wearing militarized gear and carrying lethal weapons raided a local family-friendly music festival in a public park within the Wilani Urban Forest of Atlanta. Officers used excessive force to arrest dozens of concertgoers, including musicians and a legal observer, and threatened to shoot people in the park, even pointing a rifle into a children's bouncy house.
Oh my God.
Arrestees were charged with domestic terrorism. Forest defenders are also being threatened with RICO charges, making local charges into federal offenses. RICO stands for Racketeer Influenced and Corruption Organizations, and that's been used against the mafia and other organized criminal enterprises. This takes prosecution of peaceful protest into a serious new level and has extreme implications for our constitutional rights of peaceful assembly and protest.
From the UK Guardian, the first 2 days had included free music, herbal workshops, and a peaceful march through neighborhoods surrounding the forest southeast of Atlanta. Then, around 5:30 on Sunday evening, about 200 activists, most in balaclavas and camouflaged clothing, began lining up to the right of the station. They marched around three sides of the audience, chanting, "Viva Tortuguita," a reference to Manuel Paez Terán, a 26-year-old activist who was camping several hundred feet away from that spot on 18th January when the police shot and killed him in another raid. It was the first time in U.S. history that police killed an environmental activist while protesting.
People versus Fossil Fuels, a coalition of 1,200 groups concerned with climate change and environmental issues, put out a wonderful statement. For decades, the U.S. has directly or indirectly supported the murders of environmental defenders across the global South. Often these murders have been carried out by agents of U.S.-backed authoritarian governments in the interest of extractive projects pushed by transnational corporations. The assassinations of Tortuguita is a stark reminder of how this kind of violence occurs in the U.S. as well. We condemn the destruction of a forest in the middle of a global climate emergency, and especially a forest that provides critical cooling and runoff protection prevention benefits in a low-income majority Black community in a region of the country that is already experiencing deadly summer heat waves and increased rainfall and flood risk. We'll have the entire statement next week. Before we share with you some events happening around the Fukushima Daiichi anniversary and take your phone calls about any of today's topics, a very important thing we and all producers need to do on each show is appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air.
Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you. And we have to ask for your help, or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions, concerts, webinars. It's all important. Later in the show, we'll talk about a Riverkeeper web seminar about the new bill to prevent dumping of radioactive waste. But of course, action also includes funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950.
I know we talk a lot about fundraising. We need to. We need you to keep us going. WBAI has always taken the time and made the effort to cover stories in depth. We go behind the headlines and press releases because we're funded primarily by listeners, not corporate advertisers. If you appreciate our information, please show us you care about our show and about WBAI by giving a donation, getting one of our premiums, or even better, becoming a monthly supporter as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We appreciate you. Please help to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. This month, there is a special premium. For new BAI buddies or for a one-time donation of $100, we offer our Women's History Collection, including such important environmental scientists as Rachel Carson and Dr. Helen Caldicott. We have women scientists on Ecologic even when it is not Women's History Month. In fact, we did two shows about Rachel Carson last May, on the 23rd, and on her birthday, May 27th. Please look for them on the archives.
Also, we have a premium that is especially appropriate for Women's History Month. Our interview with the inspiring scientist and author Danielle Whitaker about her career, her research on bird sense of smell, and what it means for our knowledge of the human senses. Ask for her book, The Secret Perfume of Birds, for a donation of $45 or more, or for a real treat and to support the station at the same time. You can get both the Women's History Drive and the book for a donation of $135. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives. Check out our archives for some of our Celebration of Nature shows. Show us you would like more of our nature shows. Cephalopods, butterflies, unusual creatures, with your donation.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We really hope that you will step up to help keep WBAI and Pacifica Network broadcasting. You are hearing us now because listeners like you pitch in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. We want you to be a part of us. Annual membership in WBAI is just $25. So join us as a voting member, or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for $10 or more a month. Just making any donation today lets us know that you are listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950. We really need you.
We thank you for everything you've done for BAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Ken has been hosting Ecologic on BAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. We have more than 25 items from which you can choose on the website ecologic.wbai.org. They make great gifts, as well as treats for yourself. Think about what you can afford, about the importance of the information that Ecologic and so many WBAI shows give you, and become a voting member for just $25. Maybe you could find just $10 a month or more to be a sustaining BAI buddy. That helps the station budget expenses and is easier for some folks than a large donation at one time. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through this call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Peace Action reports that Representative Jim McGovern of Massachusetts has introduced legislation, H.R. 77, in the House of Representatives that demands the United States embrace the goals and provisions of the United Nations Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, voted for by 122 nations. We'll have more on that next week.
Local professor and filmmaker Heidi Huttner's film Radioactive, The Women of Three Mile Island, has been making the rounds of film festivals, including stops in Florida, California, Iowa, Oregon, and Vermont, and has a few local screenings coming up. The Rivertown Film Society in Nyack, Rockland County on April 26th, the 37th anniversary of the Chernobyl explosion, and at Huntington Cinema Arts Center, Huntington, Long Island, with a Q&A session with the stars and film team on April 29th. The film has even gone international with a screening at the International Uranium Film Festival in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in May.
Speaking of film festivals, the Princeton Environmental Film Festival has announced its schedule for this year. The festival runs from March 24th to March 31st, includes both in-person and virtual events, all free of charge. There are 22 films to watch from home, both full-length documentaries and short films, and two or three screenings each day at the Princeton Library Community Room or the Garden Theater. If you have any interest in environmental issues, and if you're listening to Ecologic, you surely do, you'll find something to appreciate. Some of us burn the midnight oil, catching as many as possible. Check it out at princetonlibrary.org/PEFF-schedule. That's princetonlibrary.org.
Next week, we'll talk about a, quote, serious near miss with handling nuclear waste, end quote. Ridiculous.
I went to the New York Build Conference on Thursday, my first conference since before COVID. Hundreds of businesses that work on or in buildings showed themselves off, and many gave slideshows or panel discussions. Almost no green-oriented businesses were there, though some had green or eco or enviro in their name, proving that the word has commercial impact even for those who are not really being green or eco or enviro. In the past, there used to be two aisles of actual environmentally oriented businesses there. One person told me how floods were good for his business. Another person said that geothermal, the ground-sourced heat pumps variety, was good anywhere, which is completely false. He even had drawings of deep drilling, which the American Institute of Architects and Henry Gifford have proved to use more energy than they save. But there was one person I met who made me glad I was there. She was with the organization Rewire.com. That's Rewire, Wire with a Y, which is promoting Local Law 97, intended to make all New York City buildings more energy efficient. Boy, was she angry when I told her that big building owners don't actually have to pay their fines, and her colleague confirmed it. The amazing green architect Chris Benedict and I are partly responsible for Local Law 97, but there has been pushback, which maybe means they're afraid of having to pay their fines. Yet they could avoid the fine simply by being more efficient, and saving energy saves them money in the long run. They seem not to believe that.
Mm. As promised, here's the information on Riverkeeper's web seminar on New York State Bills S-5181 and A-53838. These bills would put a stop to any planned discharge into the Hudson River, which Holtec, the carcinogenic company that currently owns and is decommissioning Indian Point nuclear reactors, is planning for this August, or even earlier. Riverkeeper's online event is next Thursday, March 16th at 6:30 p.m., and you can get information and learn how you can take action to support the bills. You can go to our site, www.ecoradio.org, or to www.riverkeeper.org for a Zoom registration link.
And those bill numbers again, S-5181 in the New York Senate and A-5338 in the New York Assembly. Friends of mine from Japan tell me that Japan can't admit the real reason they have so many nuclear plants. It's not electricity, which was proved when every nuke shut down. It's a fear of China taking revenge for World War II with nuclear weapons and thus wanting the waste from nuclear power plants to make nuclear bombs of their own. I have been told that so many times by so many different people that I can't help believing it.
This weekend here in New York, Gallery 128, which is at 128 Rivington Street in Soho, just south of the East Village, as an exhibit of anti-nuclear art by mostly Japanese and Japanese-American artists. Some of the artists, such as Tony Sahara, Akiko Yamamoto, and Orrin Buck, will be familiar to local anti-nuclear activists. From the gallery's website, on March 11th, 2011, our beautiful native country, Japan, experienced an unprecedented large earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear accident. Even now, after 12 years from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant accident, approximately 34,000 people have not returned yet to their hometown. After the nuclear disaster in Fukushima, many people in Japan felt that it was their responsibility to make the world aware of the dangers of nuclear power and to lead the world in anti-nuclear power awareness as to not to waste the inconceivable losses we suffered. Even after 12 years have passed, it's still obvious that the situation has not changed at all. We can see the government and country are depending on nuclear power. They say that it's safe for people, but the government, politicians, and related companies are lying. The disaster should have brought us all to an awareness of the safety of nuclear power, but the reality is things are becoming worse, and the situation is being hidden from the public. Those with vested interests in nuclear power plants and the power structure surrounding them point to energy security and the country's economy. What is evident is the Fukushima disaster is the hoax perpetrated by nuclear-related industry, academia, and the government in deceiving the people about its safety. The news media has concealed the radioactive damage and the massive release of radioactivity that is becoming increasingly serious. Then the news of them may be erased by the power of politics. Many nuclear power plants experts already have issued statements that our primary nuclear power policy was wrong. Since we had enough electricity, even without nuclear power is not safe. The cost is highest as compared with other power generation options, and there is extensive damage that eliminates population centers and agricultural land use if an accident happens only once. Many people agreed, but to oppose the nuclear power is still taboo. Even now, this subject is considered as taboo in Japan and the U.S. The burden to the later generations, including the issue of nuclear waste, is not being dealt with responsibly. It is time for all of us to recognize our duty as social beings to protect the life and health of the children we love and to leave hope for their future. The whole world has been manipulated by the rhetoric of peaceful use of nuclear power. Now is the time to pull out from this lie and to use art to bring awareness of the devil of nuclear power," end quote. The opening reception is this afternoon, Saturday, March 11th at 4 p.m. and includes the message of peace by Reverend Dr. T.K. Nagagaki, President Emeritus of the Buddhist Council of New York. Subways are the F, the V, the J, M, and Z. It's right near the Tenet Museum. Make a day of it, 128 Rivington Street.
And now we want to hear from you. Call in with your questions or comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. 2 weeks ago, we played Mike Glick's song, "If You're Not Outraged, You Are Not Listening." He will be in concert next Saturday evening at the People's Voice Cafe at 239 Thompson Street near Washington Square. Doors open at 7:30. It's next Saturday.
Yeah. While we're waiting for your calls to 212-209-2877, we want to repeat some of the best news we've heard in a long time. The European Commission has proposed a full exit from the corporate-controlled Energy Charter Treaty. This is an investor-state dispute settlement treaty, a treaty that allows corporations to sue governments for loss of current or future profits. This is a complete reversal of the Commission's position just 2 months ago, when it was doing all it could to support the treaty. Now, with Italy already pulled out and other European countries on the verge of doing so, the Commission is changing its tune. We hope that similar treaties are similarly rejected.
I just love that news. When
corporations
control governments, that means the people of those countries don't have power over their own lives. So when the governments realize, no, we have to take that power away from corporations, give it back to their people, I think that's a wonderful thing. That's some of the best news I've heard.
Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous that the government shouldn't be allowed to, for instance, put in an environmental protection law because some corporation is going to lose profit because of it. You know,
yeah. Anyway, we have one of you is standing by, so 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Yes, good morning. This is I'm calling from Peekskill, New York. Now, I'd like to know two things. Indian Point nuclear power plant as well as Fukushima. With Indian Point, has it closed down or not?
Yes, it has. It's in being decommissioned now. It's no longer generating electricity.
Yeah, the nuclear waste is still on site. Right? Decades of nuclear waste of two nuclear power plants is sitting there, and it's less safe than it was when it was in the reactor. It's basically in a big swimming pool.
Well, it's currently being put into dry casks very fast, hopefully safely, but it's going to stay there for quite a long time.
Now, with Fukushima, things are getting worse?
Well, yes and no. There was a threat that they were going to dump a lot of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. And the Japanese government just finally yielded to a large outcry from other countries around there and really all over the world. And they're going to delay that. So, but they still have,
They've put radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean so many times that to think that this delay means they're not going to do it would be almost naive.
Now, is it possible they could develop nuclear weapons, the Japanese?
That's what people tell me. I've spoken to many people from Japan that say that they are doing that, that the real reason for nuclear power plants is to take the nuclear waste, especially the plutonium from it, to make nuclear bombs with. All nuclear material for atomic bombs comes out of nuclear plants first. The military makes their own nuclear power plants to get the plutonium. Other countries, such as France, they use their commercial domestic nuclear plants for the same purpose.
Right.
And in fact, in France, it's considered treason to criticize nuclear power because that's where they get their nuclear weapons from.
Right. Okay, well, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Have a good
day. Yes. You have a good day, too.
Yeah, it's nice to think that we can rest easy that Japan has halted the release of radioactive water into the ocean. But, you know, the one thing we know is that the bad guys don't quit. And yeah. if we win a battle today, the war is still ongoing and they're going to continue to try. So we need people to stay aware, to stay active, to stay alert, because the threat is ongoing.
Yeah. This would have been such a big dump that it's good that it's delayed. But as we said earlier, you know, every tuna that's tested has Fukushima radioactive materials in it, so...
I think the problem here is that there is an ongoing misconception that pollution is dilution. And that we can apply that to the pollution of our precious Hudson River, the dumping of the radioactive water into the Hudson River is still being fought. Right. As we reported earlier in the broadcast, Rockland County finally,
it was the first time they were presented with the resolution, thanks to one of our friends and colleagues.
It took them long to go, yeah, we don't want that.
Now we need the other municipalities to follow suit.
Yes, such as New York City.
There is a model resolution for communities to look at. We can track that down and post it onto our website. There's a big campaign going right now to bring this resolution in front of municipalities and get more people on board with this.
And yeah, it's interesting because my own assemblywoman in my part of New York City is kind of, she doesn't like to make waves. And it's like, you know, not making waves is making waves. And she doesn't get it. It makes me nervous, really. The phone number is 212-209-2877. Join the conversation. We have a couple minutes left. 212-209-2877. It's the anniversary of the first day of the Fukushima disaster. And we always make sure to say it's the first day because that disaster is still going on. That water is still accumulating. It's still becoming radioactive. The reactor vessel melted into the ground. It was so hot that it melted the rock that it was sitting on, and it went into the water table, and the government corporations of Japan don't know where the pieces of the reactor vessel went. They're just gone. They went into the water and away. So when there's a nuclear power plant disaster, it's not a little thing.
Yeah.
It's never a little thing.
Yeah. I remember after Chernobyl, I was working in a company and somebody was talking about going on a honeymoon in Ireland, and they were advised not to because the fallout from Chernobyl in the Ukraine was, you know, had traveled. It you don't see it, you don't smell it, you don't taste it, and it does such damage.
We are one planet, folks. The air travels, the water travels, the water currents. Once they dump radioactive water into the Pacific, it doesn't just stay around Japan or the that side of the Pacific. The currents bring it all alongside up to Alaska and down the west coast of the U.S. So that affects us.
That same clockwise circle that the Gulf Stream has in the Atlantic Ocean, the currents have in the Pacific Ocean. So that clockwise circle goes from Japan to the U.S. There's two ways that a nuclear power plant closes down, voluntarily or because it has an accident so bad that it can't operate anymore. I think the first choice is a lot better than the second choice.
Well, it's time to wrap up. Boy, the time goes fast.
Doesn't it?
Thanks for joining us this morning. We are glad to have you for Ecologic at 6 a.m. live or on the archives. Join us next week, March 18th, for more details on many of today's stories. Go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, and we love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums, including the new combination, The Secret Perfume of Birds, and the Women's History Collection. Most can be found both on Ecologic and WBAI.org and on Give2WBAI.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We'd love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges.
Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Oh, the information on our website is found not only as separate entries on that site, but also within the information about radio shows. As we talk about different environmental issues, there's usually a link there. So there's a lot of information and a lot of ways to get to it. Our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, March 18th. Check our website for details.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI New York with a moment in women's history.
I began to live to give whatever I could instead of to get
whatever I could.
Mildred Lizette Norman, who became Peace Pilgrim, says she was trained to believe it was good to be generous, giving, and unselfish on one hand, but on the other, to be successful, you need to go out there and grab more than your share of the world's goods. She says she tried to act on both of these trainings, but ended up grabbing more than her share before she became Peace Pilgrim.
We're trained to believe it's good to be a kind, loving, person, that we should never hurt anyone. And yet we're also trained to believe that it's honorable to kill people on the other side of the world or maim them if our government tells us to, you see. Directly opposite, and we try sometimes to act upon both, although I am very grateful that more and more of my fellow citizens are rebelling against that second. Now, that didn't ever take with me. But the other training that I mentioned did.
Peace Pilgrim was the first woman to hike the Appalachian Trail in one season. Then for decades, she crisscrossed North America on a peace pilgrimage.
I'm penniless. I own only what I wear and what I carry in my little pockets. I don't belong to any organization. There's no organizational backing behind me. I walk until given shelter, and I fast until given food, and I don't even ask. But I think it's a wonderful tribute to the goodness of my fellow human beings that without ever asking for anything in more than 16 years of walking, I have been supplied.
Peace wore a blue tunic with the words, Peace Pilgrim. Her message is, this is the way of peace.
Overcome evil with good, and falsehood with truth, and hatred with love. You see, there's nothing new about that message except the practice of it, but I consider it the message for today. Too long in our immaturity, we have attempted to overcome evil with more evil and thereby multiplied the evil. Evil can only be overcome by good.
Peace Pilgrim. You can hear more from Peace and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy. For $15 a month, you'll receive the WBAI Women's History Collection, an extensive collection produced by the Pacifica Radio Archives. Please call 212-209-2950 and say, yes, I want to become a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member of WBAI for $15 a month to help the station broadcast into the future. 212-209-2950 or go to women.wbai.org, women.wbai.org to become a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member of WBAI on this Women's History Day.